Stooges.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm back. That's all I can say.
Oh, well, go away again. I was getting a lot of work done while you were gone.
Well, that's good. Well, that's...
Hey, Lyle. How the heck are you?
Okay.
Well, sounded not so sure. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Ron.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty well, actually.
Good to hear.
So you've all recovered and...
Yeah, I still don't have all my energy back, but, yeah, I'm bright and chipper now. Everybody's commented about the fact that I seem to be well and truly on the mend.
Yeah.
No discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get all your tornado damage stuff?
Well, the town has still got areas that are complete shambles, but, yeah, I'm fine here. I've got some trees that are partially down that I've got to take my chainsaw out and drop when I feel better.
Mm. Yeah. California beckons.
That's what Showalter keeps telling me, you know.
Yeah.
Back out there. I can't afford to live out there.
There is a lot of truth to that. I can't afford to live out here.
Well, yeah, when did...
Hey, Richard.
Oh. Oh, God.
Because right now is not a good time for me to be trying to sell a house out in Virginia and Podunk and try to move into some place in California.
Actually, there's great peril.
Hello.
Yeah, there's some properties around that were close to $1 million that, you know, like 500,000, 600,000, depending on the area.
Yeah, I've got a large house on 2 acres, and if I sell it here, I won't make enough money to buy a mobile home and a trailer park out there.
Well, wait for the big earthquake. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then after the, I think it was the Northridge quake, there were these condos by me that were going for $60,000 because people were leaving in the droves. By drove.
Really?
Well, this was a number. Hey, Dick.
Good morning, Ron.
Bakery Note. I'm infringing on Bakery Note turf. Good.
You certainly are. Although if it's meat we're talking about, perhaps I shouldn't complain.
No. Well, actually, having said that, it might be true. How are you?
How's the weather?
In Flagstaff?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. We've had a good winter, but it's a nice spring day today.
Flagstaff's good for those.
Pardon?
Flagstaff's good for those. I heard you guys got heavy snow last week.
Yeah, we did. Had actually a good winter with snow.
You know, there's some big pileup on the freeway, right?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So we have Lyle, Chris, Mitch, Dick, me, Steve Hughes, and Richard Chen. And we're missing... Oh, Carol. Sorry, Carol. And Carol. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
We are good. Just went down the list.
Susie won't be here today.
Oh, okay. So it looks like we have somebody except for PPI. Shall we get started then?
I sent you a quick note ahead of the meeting, Ron, by the way.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris has to leave early, but... Okay, cool. Oh, by the way, I'm going to introduce Richard Chen.
Hello.
He's our new engineering node, data engineering type person. At least in training.
Hello.
Welcome.
So, does this training include, counseling as well?
Part and parcel with every engineering job.
Ron scares me.
Where do we send the sympathy cards?
Keep going, guys. I've almost got him convinced he wants this job. Go on. Keep going.
It's only trauma and grief counseling.
Okay, Richard, you can't come to these telecons anymore. All right. First item on the agenda, movies. I had a very brief email from Elizabeth, who, by the way, has the flu, saying she expects the face-to-face management council will greatly de-scope this work. That's all she said. And I assume that she's referring to just as a new data object, that the work that is still moving forward is the one where it's a document format.
As I remember, she's got some stuff on the website, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Lori.
Hello.
Hey, Patty.
Hi.
We'll talk about your train ride. We're on the agenda.
All right, thanks.
So we have now finished with movies as a data object and acceptable data format. Moving on to 118 at ICD, SISA to volume documentation. Actually, the working group has been plowing through this one, and there is on the website a posted SCR that the working group feels comfortable with. Dick, do you want to talk about this one?
Sure. The basic problem is that the PAG requires that an ICD be included in the archive. That was written into the PAG when we had a somewhat different view of the ICD than what we have today. And so the request was to take that out. Now, you can take that out, but the problem, there's still a remaining problem of what exactly do you want to include in the archive. And so the scope of the SCR has been broadened somewhat. The offending sentence has been taken out. There's no longer a statement that says an ICD has to be required or included. But the PAG has been rewritten so that no specific documents are required. Instead, what we're saying is that there's something which we're calling an archive description document, which has things like ICDs, SISs, data management, and archive plans. And you can kind of put this archive description document together with whatever pieces you have available. But you don't have to produce an archive description document. It's sort of fictitious in that sense. So the PAG is now written to explain what documentation needs to be in the archive without emphasizing specific documents by title, since the meaning of those titles seems to vary from project to project. So that's what we've done. Unfortunately, I looked at the APG, and that probably the APG needs to be revised in the same ways, but we've at least dealt with the PAG in this SCR.
So, and we're talking about 3-111 or 1118 ICD, and Dick has rewritten it. It's posted to the website.
Alrighty.
So the next step, Dick, is to...
Well, we could talk about it.
Mm.
We could look at the APG and see whether we want to tackle that one. I think they kind of go hand in hand, but we might as well decide whether we're on the right track before we invest in another rewrite.
Can I stir the waters, Dick, please? It's Mitch.
Sure. You were an author on these things, so you probably have some useful input.
Not so much, but I've just been involved in a review of an ESA data set, the Venus Express, and I noticed, going back looking at some of the previous stuff that ESA has put in, that there's a real tendency to stuff a lot of things in the documents directory and put nothing in the catalog directory. And it seems to me that we're really getting ourselves set up, if we follow a similar approach, to confusing the users more than ever. Ray Arvidsson said that at LPSC that was one of the most common complaints, was people didn't know how, to find the data, but if they found it, they didn't know how to use it, how to access it, what it contained, and were stunned to find out that there was information like a SIS somewhere that had all of that information. And if I don't much care if we change the PAG and the APG and we take all of that stuff out and we do this generic thing, But I think that somewhere in the standards, we need to demand that a structure is always followed, even if it's as simplistic as saying all of these peripheral things go on the document directory. Each of them, with its contents, has to be referred to in a specific catalog file, and each of these and its contents have to be expressly described in a docinfo.txt, not just this is the title of the document, but these are the things in it, because it's becoming increasingly difficult to find things like the description of the instrument, because they go in so many different places, and we need to have a rigid place where a user can always go to find out where that document, where that information will be in this particular archive.
I'll accept that as a very valid criticism. I'm not sure that it fits within the scope of this SCR.
Yeah, and that's probably valid, except that I think the SCR needs to at least identify that as we play from, you know, you have to have this document, but you have to have this information, that we need an SCR that modifies the standards to mandate one place where the user can always look to find out where the information is.
The problem is the documentation really comes down to being something that the peer review passes. And I would hope that a good peer review would conclude that the documentation is spaghetti and not useful. But I guess you're saying that's not happening.
Well, no, even if it's useful, it's consistent. But right, I've got a lot of data sets where if you want to know the specifications, you look in instrument.cat. And then some of them you look in the SIS. Some of them you look in an ICD. Some of them you look in a journal article that's been appended to the documents directory. And all of those are reasonable solutions. They all make sure that the instrument information is in the archive. Because it's not always in the same place, it becomes increasingly difficult for users to track it down. And what we need to have is a much better guide to the documentation contents of the archive. And I think I'm probably going to write an SCR, I guess, is what I'm saying, aren't I?
Well, you can certainly do that. I think this SCR does take one small step in that direction by removing the requirement for an ICD. The problem is, different people have different ideas of what the ICD should be. And ESA, when we wrote the PEG, ESA was putting together ICDs to be the archive definition document, that everything was going to be in the ICD. And PDS hasn't really bought into that. And so it just started to make less and less sense that PDS would require an ICD. But even SISs vary from one organization to another. Some are strictly format descriptions. Some include descriptions of what it means to have a number in there. And some even start to look almost like data management plans.
Yeah.
So the emphasis in the rewrite of the PAG was to get away from the specific titles, but to explain what's needed. But what's missing, at least in your view, is a little bit more direction on what goes where.
Yeah,
and I didn't try to include that.
I don't care where they put it, but I think that we need to be able to tell every single reader, read this one file. It may not contain any other information, but pointers that will tell you where to find specific information.
Sort of like
contents for the archive that says that the instrument description is in this file, the label descriptions are in this file. Even if the answer is the same all the time for some archives, it won't be the same from one archive to the next.
You're saying that something like AA README should be set up to be a roadmap to the archive.
Yeah, that's pretty place.
But I guess the question I have is, isn't it sufficient to say in the PAG that you need this document, and then in a separate document you specify exactly the content and layout and placement of it?
Yeah, you could do that.
You know, what is a PAG, or what is a ADD, which is kind of a funny name, but, you know,
well,
attention deficit disorder.
Yeah, we tossed those acronyms around for a while.
I know, but yeah. Which anyway, I kind of thought the intent of this SCR was to kind of shape up the language that's used in the PAG, and that the definition of the archive document would be a separate effort.
Yeah, I'm sure that my comments are not really relevant to how this plays out on this SCR. It'll have to be a separate SCR.
The PAG does provide pointers to websites, and what we could do is work on the websites.
And the PAG does have sort of what content should be in an ADD, right?
Right.
Kind of a rough outline of it.
But it doesn't say if you're interested in the instrument, go here. It just says there is an instrument description, there is some processing history, those kinds of things.
Right. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I agree with Mitch that as a follow-on, we should be more rigorous in defining what, you know, the documentation that goes along with an archive.
Yeah, my concern is being able to find it. I'm finding that as I look at archives produced by other nodes, we all put the same kind of information in the archive, but we don't put it in the same place.
Right, and the Europeans are actually pretty confused because they started working with small bodies, as I remember. Joe Zender even came over and spent some time at the University of Maryland. And then they started having to interact with other nodes and found that the conventions were quite different. And they got somewhat annoyed, I guess, because of that. And I think that may be one reason behind their decision to sort of freeze their standards, because they just couldn't deal with going to a different node and having different conventions. So they just decided to adopt conventions of their own and live with those.
Yeah, and on the plus side of it, when I pointed out during the peer review to Dave Heather that it was difficult to find things, he was adamant that they wanted to fix that. He was looking for ways to make it easy for the user to find the material, the documentation. So I think that they will be willing, if we set a new, something like the AA README, that specifies you must list this information and tell the user where exactly to go find it in the AA README and make a template that's updated to it, I believe they'd adopt that.
All right, but it also says that their peer review process is working. You pointed out a problem, and David is going off and trying to fix it. So at least at that level, you may have effected some repairs.
Right, but it's to PDS's benefit to have more consistent conventions.
True.
Internally. Because as we interact external to PDS, it's to the PDS's benefit, I think, to be more consistent.
Yeah, it is, and one of the things that we need to be thinking about is what is the purpose of the files in the catalog directory, right? Primarily, they seem to be used now for ingesting into the PDS rather than providing information for the user, especially because a lot of teams have now been able to do things like take the documentation that they put in journal articles like Space Science Review and put those journal articles in the documents directory. Then it becomes meaningless to do an instrument description in the instrument.cat. You do the absolute minimum there to get it into PDS and then refer to the file in the documents directory. You don't rewrite it. And I think that's a trend that we need to recognize is potentially going to happen.
That's pretty much the way we've been trying to do it for the past 20 years at the Small Bodies Node.
Yeah, but now we're getting to the point where things like Space Sciences Review has finally given us permission to be able to incorporate the article.
Yes, but I mean the catalog files were always intended for loading the catalog. That's why they have that name. They were never intended for user interaction, and in fact, in the very early PDS, they weren't included in the distribution volume.
Right, but I think what I think about the catalog files is it can also be a vehicle of providing well-structured information about, say, an instrument or something that's in a very consistent format.
Can be, but if it's 20,000 words long, you've defeated the original purpose of the catalog.
Well, that's true, but I think as a header kind of metadata to a instrument document that is 20,000 words long, it's very useful because it sets the context.
I'd be concerned about putting useful information in the AA README file because that is a file that is specifically associated with the distribution physical volume and has no actual permanent tie to anything in the archive.
Right, but it is one place where people might start if they happen to stumble across it.
If they happen to get a distribution archive. We're not
right.
talking about online distribution where the AA README is rarely seen. Actually, docinfo isn't seen much more frequently either.
Right. I think that was just an example, but if we were to use, say, an instrument description that's in the CAT currently, if there were a pointer in that to the full, say, PDF document that is a description of the instrument, then it makes it more relocatable and more useful to the user
mm-hmm. well,
as information.
That's what we've been trying to do for 15 years. We
right.
are frequently ignored.
Yeah, and it's a good point, and I think the discussion has been worthwhile. I'm going to actually propose a new file, I think, which is the archive table of contents file, because people often don't read the AA README expecting it's going to talk about version stuff, and in fact, a lot of the information we put in AA READMEs off of boilerplates tend not to be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
But a document table of contents file might be useful, and it might be the kind of thing where we would automatically bundle it. I could talk to our, you know, we have a search engine that lets you extract a piece of data or bundle pieces of data, and then one of the options is, do you want the documentation that goes with this thing? And what we maybe ought to start doing is providing a documentation table of contents in any event. Say, these are documentation files, and these are what they contain.
Todd, does the data model group address any of this?
In a sense, in that in the use case for describing an instrument, it talks about the attributes that are important. But I'd have to double check to see if a pointer to external documentation or something is.
Yeah, the question is, how is the documentation actually linked to the archive?
Well, that's a problem
right.
in PDF3, obviously.
Right. Yeah,
right. But in PDF4, we can correct it, or we can improve upon it. And what Mitch is suggesting is, I think, pretty good, as long as it's not tied to a volume, you know, an archive volume. If you have, like, a contents file that you look at, whatever the distribution is, whether it's online or as a zip file that's sort of generated on demand, having a standard name file as a starting point is a very good thing.
Yeah, I'm concerned about putting a lot of effort into PDS3 to get something like this to work when I'm afraid that even if you create this very useful file, you still have the problem that neither it nor anything else in the document directory is inherently relocatable because there are no fixed IDs, there are no serial numbers, there's no requirement
right.
that they be
right.
tied to any specific data set ID.
Right. I think it's a poor fit for PDS3, but it's very good for when you have relocatable resources or
mm-hmm.
products.
Yes, then you can have a relocatable table of contents
exactly.
that will give you all the information you need to go directly to each document. That would be wonderful. So I guess I'm advocating a Band-Aid approach for PDS3 and a solution in PDS4.
I'm going to mess up the SCR, and then you'll have to correct it because that's going to go right over my head. But my thought would be that, let's say that I'll use a rings note example. We get somebody comes in, and they take 100 images from the Cassini imaging system. We will extract that from three different volumes of Cassini data that they because that's where the images were they wanted. Bundle that up and add the generic table of contents for Cassini ISS. It says this is the table of contents of the documentation for the archive from which these files were drawn. These other documents are available and you may want to download them.
That's a little different than what I originally thought you were suggesting.
Well, what I'm suggesting is that there's a table of contents that goes with the volume that lists where you find the instrument description, even if it's a file in the documents directory. When somebody comes in and they cherry pick the files that they data files that they want, we give them what they've asked for. They get the labels and they get other stuff as well. But I want to give them something that says, by the way, if you're new to this particular data set, here's the table of contents of the documentation. with descriptions of the documentation, because some of these files you're probably going to want, but you won't know which one until I tell you what they contain.
Right, and in a PDS3 paradigm, that's probably the best you can do. In a PDS4 paradigm, where all resources are relocatable, which physical volume it resides on isn't as important as the unique identifier of the resource or products that you're bundling up. And so, you know, when you know the approach in maybe in a PDS4 paradigm is to say, well, I have these resources or products. What documentation goes along with these? And then you sort of automatically bundle that as an aid to the user when they ask for a delivery.
Yeah, the problem with that, Todd, is that if I have users coming in, getting another 100, and then another 100, and another 100, I don't need to be sending them the same instrument documentation every time. They only need it once.
Right, and part of that is, you know, in terms of process, the user can select to include documentation and select not to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be an option to include it or not.
Are we getting a little far afield of the original discussion?
Sure.
I brought this whole topic up way back when we first started doing PDSD, that we needed to do this, and I don't know if anybody actually ever got a script together to do it. But
well, you know, and
it's been on the table for some time that the users need to not just get the products, they need to be able to, they should get documentation unless they've already seen it.
Right, and I guess I agree, and I think we've had a similar perspective in terms of how we provide a good service to the user. I think PDS4 is an opportunity to really implement or come up with a plan to do that. It's been difficult to do in the PDS3 paradigm. So I think it's a good idea that needs to be, you know, institutionalized, I guess.
Okay. Sorry, as somebody pointed out, we have gotten very far afield from the SCR that we're supposed to be talking about, so clearly my concern is not going to be resolved by that SCR, and I'll have to put in that's about the problem that I think we need to address in PDS3.
I want to be on that working group.
Okay, well, if I put in the SCR, whoever edits it gets to be on the working group.
Actually, when you submit the SCR, isn't a working group formed?
Yeah.
Yeah,
at that point?
I don't have a hand in that.
Yeah, right.
You can suggest members for the working group.
Right.
Okay, as far as the SCR is concerned, though, does anybody think we're not on the right track?
I'm looking at one that says the recommendation is to change the PAG to align with the current practice in the standards reference. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It is?
Yeah. Well, that's the title of it.
The right version?
1118, right?
Yeah.
1118, and the proposed solution is, since the problem originates in the PAG, the easiest and recommended solution is to remove the PAG requirements the ICDD covers.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Dick has done a rewrite of the PAG.
It's an edit, right?
An edit.
It's not a complete
rewrite.
Yeah,
it's kind of heavy on one or two pages and then scattered edits here and there. If people think that this is okay, then I can take a look at the APG. We're not ready to vote on 318, but we could do that in 2 weeks, maybe, or whenever.
I would think that what has to happen is that we have to take on the task of the members of the working group have to review the revised APG and comment by email within a week, so that we're ready for being able to vote when we have the next telecon.
Right. I'm just thinking in 2 weeks, I think we are
Management Council.
On our way to Management Council.
Yeah. You are correct.
So maybe what we could do is ask people to comment within the next week, and then we'll see what we can do for whenever we get another telecon scheduled. I wrote into the SCR that this needs Management Council approval, and that's simply because Management Council approved the original PAG, so I think they deserve to get a little bit bigger view of this but we're not going to have this ready for the April Management Council meeting.
No, but we could tell them it's coming.
We can tell them it's coming, and I could take a quick look at the APG to see what needs to be revised there.
That would be good. So, Ron, could you take us an action to send out a note to all of us saying that we've got a week to review the draft, the revised PAG, and submit comments?
Sure.
And make sure everybody submits the comments to the group at large so that I can see what Ann and Todd said so that I don't say something really stupid when it's my turn.
Well, I never read the original document. Does this mean I have to read both the revised and the original document?
Read the revised and see if it makes you throw up.
I think what's posted is, well, it's a Word document, which is not your favorite form, but it's got the track changes turned on, so you can see where the changes were made.
I downloaded the PDF and didn't see track changes. So.
Yeah, the PDF won't have it, will it?
Sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does. You have to get the settings just right.
But yeah, if we just get the review responses in by next week, that gives us a sense of what we're looking at. With how it's built, how good it is. I think that makes sense.
Seeing any track changes? Can you give me a clue what section you actually changed?
Oh, it's section 3.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any track changes.
I turned them all off. Do you want a version that has track changes on it?
Well, otherwise,
yeah,
I can't read the whole damn document because I never read the original. So.
Yeah, the reason I gave you the track changes was so people wouldn't have to read both of them and, you know, have fingers on both pages to see where the changes were. It's 3.5.1 to the end of section 3.5.
Okay.
That's, you know, there's a smattering of changes elsewhere, but that,
okay.
Well, basically 3.5, section 3.5.
So the answer to the question, Ron, was yes. If you put up a track changes version as well, that would probably be useful.
Got it.
Sort of the bottom line is that the acronym ICD no longer appears in the document.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Any more discussion on 118? I've got an action item. 119, Chris.
Yeah, Ron, don't know if you got my note, but a quick update. Sorry, I'm bringing up my note here. Like I said, I don't have any much progress in the last couple of weeks, but I still have an action to gather some app projection info from ISIS, give it to the working group, and I'll bump that up for this week and next for me.
Cool. Okay. 119 is done. 1124 PSDD enhancement case. Again, the working group's been busy. And we have posted a proposed SCR for discussion. You want to take that one too, Dick?
Yeah, this one's a little bit more complicated. On its face, it looks like we're just putting in a new keyword that says this would go into the data dictionary. It says that things would be uppercase, lowercase, mixed case, or no mixed case. And that would allow people working on VTool to add a little bit of code which would report errors if you had the wrong case in a value. Now, there are some exceptions in the standards. For example, things that end with description or DSC are allowed. The basic rule is everything's uppercase, but the exceptions are keywords that end with DESC or description. I think note also allows mixed case. There's a checksum exception. And so that kind of covers the case thing. but I think there are two issues that need to be addressed. One is that some people use mixed case with other keywords. For example, Todd proposed accepting all keywords that end with name. And going back through some of my own archives, even though I've pounded on this issue, I discovered a few cases where I have used mixed or lowercase with keywords ending in name. Because when I got the information, that's what the source provided me, and I wasn't comfortable forcing it all to uppercase. So that's one possible place where we need to have discussion. The other is a much bigger deal. There's a companion issue of which characters are allowed in values for keywords. For example, dataset ID in principle should have uppercase letters, digits, or underscores, but we know that there are slashes and hyphens. That's how we intended dataset ID to be used. So
I think that's even outlined in Chapter 6, Dick.
Yeah, I mean, that's written into the standards. It's an exception to a very broad rule that says IDs should only have uppercase letters, digits, and underscores. So my feeling is that we have this SCR which deals with the case. It wouldn't be too much of a stretch to take it that one step further and convert it to an SCR that deals with the character sets that are allowed. We've got to think a little bit more carefully about which keywords do produce these exceptions. But I think the SCR that we've written is a pretty good start toward that. And then we could do it with one SCR and not have two. So that's kind of where it is right now.
But Dick, aren't the two things, character set and case, easily separated? I mean, we don't.
Sure,
have to
but
do it.
But case is really a subset of the character set, and character set is the one that needs more validation work.
But yeah, I thought as part of our discussion, it was we thought case was better than character set because it's a more general.
No,
I
mean,
you could define the character set to be just uppercase characters.
Oh, sure.
And that's the same as saying case has to be uppercase.
Yeah, but my argument for doing case first was that I thought we might actually be able to do it. Whereas if we started straight away on the character set thing, I figured we'd just get lost in a swamp.
Oh, that was my point, too.
Right. And
now we've got a template, which I think could be broadened to cover the character set question.
Right, but I think as written, the SCR, I mean, it could be approved and implemented.
Sure, but why go through two when we could?
Well, Dick, the reason why is that if you want to do a character set, you have to go through the data dictionary keyword by keyword and determine the character set for every single keyword. And I don't think that's really where we want to go.
Why don't you have to do that for case?
Well,
we're
argue that we did, but the way it's written, I think, is reasonable without having to go through keyword by keyword, and we can adjust later on.
We kind of, on case, we kind of said, you know, class, you know, based on class, certain case rules apply.
Well, unfortunately, the rules used to be very simple. Everything was uppercase unless it was a description note or text field.
Right.
Period.
Nothing wrong with that.
And for years we've told people, you know, if you put mixed case in your labels, it's not going to be preserved in the archive. It's going to be pushed to uppercase. The complicating issue is that the linking fields in data set labels that link back to mission and instrument are name fields, not ID fields.
Exactly.
And if you have to match through potentially mixed case, you have the same sort of problems that we have with matching potentially mixed case in file names and directory names. And the only rational solution is to basically make case insignificant. And once case is not significant, wasting the effort to preserve it seems a bit heinous.
Right, and so many people are just ignoring Case already, but I think we may be losing a battle by pushing on this SCR.
But I thought the purpose of this was more in the validation side.
Well, here's the other thing. Why are they trying to validate beyond the rules that are already written in PDS, which is that Case is not significant except if it's a description, note, or text field?
Well, the problem is they're not validating anything having to do with Case at the moment.
Well, that's kind of the right thing to do, given the PDS environment where Case is not preserved.
Why would you say we're not validating for anything with Case?
I thought that was where we started with this SCR, that the vTool doesn't do it.
No, you even had Sean on, where on the telecon, where he pretty much enforced that they do the exact same rules, their interpretation of the ODL rules in Chapter 12. So I don't understand your statement.
That's not what I remember.
Okay, here's my other strong gut reaction to SCRs that fall into this category. Why are we putting this much effort into PDS 3?
PDS 4 is at least 2 years away.
Yes, and it would take 2 years to get this implemented correctly, tested, and rolled out.
I doubt that, actually. But
really?
Yeah.
Do you have a counterexample?
Well, I think the
We discussed with Sean already, so in terms of the implementation, once we pass it.
Yeah, a lot of things are sitting in implementation.
The logjam is in the Tech Session and Management Council to actually pass the thing.
Well, and then you have to propagate it out to the people who are preparing data now, and you have to deal with the case sensitivity issues that arise when you start making case significant in name fields and other fields that might be affected, and
right,
so
but
on
the propagation of this would occur through vTool, which is driven by the data dictionary. So if the data dictionary has this addition to it,
Sean, is not the only piece of software that works on PDS labels.
I understand that, but the point being that this is meant to make vTool wants to only look at the data dictionary to determine the validation rules. And by adding this, vTool can do additional validation without hard-coding in rules. It's basing the rules on the contents of the data dictionary. And I think that's the driver of why we went this way.
Yeah, that's lovely, but when you add case significance, you are adding a tighter constraint than one that has been previously followed for 20 years' worth of data. It's much easier to loosen up constraints than it is to tighten them. And everything else has to deal with the tighter constraints now.
But, Ann, I don't even understand that statement, because I've been doing this for a while, and I've always thought there was very tight constraints on case. Everything, including names, are uppercase.
That's
but
right.
It's rarely enforced.
That's right. It's because case is not preserved unless it's a description, note, or text field. It is effectively forced to uppercase any time when you actually have to read the value. You just force it to uppercase, and that's what better match.
I think one of the drivers is we've heard from the nodes to make the standards less ambiguous. Certainly this is a step forward in making that absolutely the case.
I don't think they currently are ambiguous. There's a pretty straightforward statement that says PDS labels are in uppercase and values are in uppercase unless it's a description or note field.
Well, if you look through the SCR, you'll find some instances where there is ambiguity even in how you use a T in a date-time field.
Well, once again, it's not ambiguous because the standards say uppercase.
No, it's actually read. It says upper or lowercase T.
Yeah, okay.
Just one place.
Well, but that's the ambiguity.
With each other.
We're trying to clarify all of that so that a user either new to the PDS would have a complete total understanding of what is appropriate across the PDS, not by note.
Well, yeah, Ron, that's true. And then we're trying to embody that in the data dictionary through this new case attribute.
Well, that's sort of the enforcement part, right? Because the tools, in essence, would now have some ability to say, hey, wait a minute, we're expecting uppercase there. No?
Yeah, but I guess, you know, I do hear Ann's argument here that really there's basic rules that, if applied, accomplish the same thing.
And that's really what I think the team did, is we tried to look through all those rules in the standard if you look at the SCR, there's a whole section there where we went through the entire standards reference and listed every one of them.
Right, and the case you had with time, you know, that's an obvious thing that needs to be changed in the standard, is that we shouldn't have the BNF format say it's only uppercase T, have ISO say it's only uppercase T, and then have a sentence in the descriptive or narrative part that says it can be either upper or lower, which is inconsistent. Mm. But that's a change in wording and not necessarily meaning that we have to define a whole new set of rules or attributes for things. That's what I hear Ann saying. I think whatever helps make the dictionary more rigorous and helps VTool do a better validation, a more rigorous validation, is a good thing. And I saw this as a pathway to that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So where are we?
Full circle, I guess.
I'll jump in now because it's okay. So in the SCR, what you've done is you said, okay, case type equals mixed case, and here are the things that can be mixed case. And then you've done keywords ending in note will have case type equals mixed case. Keywords ending in text will have mixed case. Checksum mixed case. And then all you've tried to do is give the data dictionary some set of rules based upon what's in the standards reference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to the extent that you have done that, I don't see where the foul is. Where's the harm? Now, the issue of whether or not we're going to enforce the standards more than we have before isn't a big concern for me. I'm happy to enforce them more firmly. This looks like you're going in the right direction, but I tend to think that we ought to stop with the case and worry about the character set as a separate SCR, which was, I think, the original question, actually.
Well, the original question was actually bogus, so we're muddling along here.
And I guess I'll say one more thing about, you know, VTool and you know, applying the standards more consistently, and that is that it's really more, it's a forward-looking approach here. We're not saying that retroactively all this has to be updated. But I think what we're trying to do is say that if you use VTool on a label, it's going to flag these things that should be a certain way if they're not. And while we may, when we load information from a label, force things to uppercase where appropriate, at least it'll say you're not being consistent with the standard as output from VTool.
Let me put in an argument for dealing with a character set rather than as part of this discussion, rather than pushing them through as two separate SCRs. If you approve this, then we add something called case type to each definition in the data dictionary. And then we come along and we want to deal with character set. That's really going to mean adding another keyword to each definition. And I think in many respects they're going to accomplish the same kind of thing. The character set will subsume the case type listing. So that's really the only reason that I was suggesting combining these, getting two jobs done with one keyword change, rather than having two new keywords, one of which will be basically useless if we ever do get the second one approved.
Well, let me say, Dick, that I'm in favor of doing that. I think that was the original intent that we started down that path, but the working group was, portions of the working group are so opposed to doing that that we ended up with case type. I think we should look back at the working group or at least get a feel for, are we never going to get to the point where we have character sets and just fall back to this approach again?
So if we combine these, then instead of having a case type mixed, it'll be character set A mixed or character set A upper, where A tells you that you can only use underscores in the 9, and then case type and character set B lets you use other symbols. How is it that you're envisioning this work, Dick?
You could have some shorthand. I think we need to talk to Sean to find out what works in something like VTool, but the simplest solution would be to just list every character. You just say character set equals curly bracket, and then just have all the characters that you're allowed for that keyword, and then a close curly bracket. But there's probably some shorthand, like uppercase plus digits covers all the capital letters, all the digits, and maybe the underscore. My guess is that we'd end up with a list of exceptions, or we'd have a default, which would be uppercase digits and underscore. There'd be another shorthand which would allow lowercase alphabetical characters. And then we've got to have slashes and dashes and things like that. We're not going to allow all the ASCII characters because some of them are non-printable. We don't allow tabs, for example, so we want to make sure that's excluded. But I think what we'll end up with is something like the last couple of pages in this SER where we've grouped the keywords that are a little bit out of the ordinary, but most of them will probably fit very nicely into uppercase digits, underscores, and maybe the space character.
Well, you'll also need negative sign, positive sign, decimal point.
Agreed.
Except that decimal point would be not necessarily allowed in certain text fields, whereas it would be allowed in certain numerical fields.
Dick, this is Steve. Just to follow what you're thinking there. So you're saying that this would be specified for each keyword?
A keyword value. Yeah.
Every keyword. So we got to go through and all 2,000 or what, however many keywords we have to fill in this value.
Exactly. So, for example, if it's implicit underscore value keyword, then it would only be the numeric digits plus or minus period, so on and so forth. Maybe an E for floating point.
Right.
But okay.
Why isn't
you have to come up with a set of about 20 different character sets?
Why isn't the character set part of the definition of a data type?
Exactly. But see, now we're getting into implementation, and I'm not sure this group, we get wrapped around the axle when we talk about implementation. I think we need to determine what are the requirements and then work with those, make sure everybody agrees what we want, and then we can figure out how to implement that after. That's just my suggestion.
I would think exception should be a different data type, not a different character set rule applied to a particular data type.
Can you say that one again? Exception?
Exceptions to a data type rule shouldn't necessarily be expressed as a new character set for that data type, because data types should have a very specific character set that's supported, like whether it's a numeric or a string or an ID.
Mm.
They have particular rules in terms of restriction of character set. If product ID has a different character set than identifier, like the generic identifier, then it should be a different data type with its own character set.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of looking at it. Then we still have data set ID being an exception, but maybe your approach simplifies it a little bit.
But we define that as a new kind of data type, that is a resource identifier or a product identifier which has its own character set.
Yeah.
Or some generic name, you know.
Sort of like an index table is a table, but it's defined separately in the standards.
Right.
In that case, we'd have about 20 plus or minus 3 different data types.
Right. Mm-hmm.
with each with its associated character set.
I'm not sure. That seems like an awful lot. Don't we have just...
I don't know. I just keep hearing new exceptions, so I'm just guessing.
If you throw case into the data type consideration, then yes, it could be 20.
Okay. Well, then there's 20.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's,
It's not 100.
Or 2,000.
Right, or 2,000.
But it's not.
Right, but you got to do it for all 2,000 keywords.
Right, we have to come up with a list similar to what we see in this SCR saying these are the ones that we would need to change the data type for, and they would be changed to the following. So
we've gone from case type to character set to data types.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are getting closer to a good implementation. Is this where we want to go, or is it...
Who's going to do all the work?
Exactly. Oh, no, and I go back to my point is, what are the requirements? I was hearing that we had some very simple rules at one point, we had some simple rules that maybe or may not were being enforced. We come up with some exceptions, and now those exceptions we're trying to identify and incorporate into the data dictionary, and we've moved to the level now where we're going to change our data types.
That's correct.
So
we have basic rules, and then there's exceptions, and how do we best describe those exceptions?
Well, actually, I'm arguing that we aren't describing exceptions. We are describing the data type. I mean, I'm agreeing with you, Todd, is
well,
it shouldn't be considered exceptions. We should have some standard ways to specify a data type, which includes its character set. And there are no exceptions. You simply, like you said, just describing your data type.
Right.
I mean, the point is, if you don't have a general rule that applies to everything, then we have to start addressing how do we model the exceptions so that they aren't exceptions, they are part of the model.
So in other words, for data set ID, the data set type, or the data type will be data set ID because it's the only one that will have that character set.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just think that this is a pretty deep morass that we're about to walk into, and that this is a cleaner, quicker solution.
Are we back at a PDS3 fix versus a PDS4 solution?
Well, there is a way to do this for PDS4 where we can start over. I don't have a problem with that, but that's not what we should be talking about here. This is PDS3.
Exactly. So I guess what I'm saying is maybe there is a PDS3 fix that we go ahead and do. And what I think, Odd, you know, back to the question of what the data modeling working group was supposed to be doing was coming up with basically a list of issues with PDS3 that need to be fixed in PDS4. And I think we just found another one. The other one, for example, which we talked about a moment ago, was being able to relocate all resource sources. So these are things that the data model working group can add to its assessment list of things that need to be fixed.
Well, I think Dick was thinking this was a PDS3 fix.
That's kind of what I heard, too. Dick?
Well, I think it could be done in 3, but...
Yeah.
I was just trying to get a little economy of scale here by solving two problems in one shot. If there's enough opposition, it's not worth pushing.
I would say that the level of effort to add an attribute to every element in the dictionary or to revise the data type for the exceptions, you know, in other words, create a new data type and then make that an update to the dictionary, the level of effort from updating the dictionary to updating VTool, I think is the same. You're basically either adding a new set of rules, or you're just adding a new set of rules, whether it applies to data type or a new attribute that you're adding to the dictionary. So, I think the level of effort's the same, whichever approach we take.
Don't agree with that, but.
Well, it sounds like if we're trying to make a decision of whether this is a stopgap solution for PDS3 or go ahead and do the fix, like we consider for PDS4, is that we have to do further impact analysis. It's kind of hard to do over the phone in a few minutes.
Let me interrupt this because Chris had to leave. Chris, was there anything else that you wanted? I know there's only a few minutes here.
No, not at this point.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. Sorry, back to the discussion.
I was pointing out it sounded like we were moving toward the impact analysis. Mm-hmm. We need to do further impact analysis to determine whether or not the a generalized solution would be easy to do right now or as easy to do as the quick fix. Because we do have a generalized solution, but it's not clear that it's easy to put in place.
I know who's best to determine.
So who should do the impact assessment, Steve?
I'll do it. But Anne, did you have a comment on this? I think you were one that was saying you were worried about the impact.
I don't know that I have anything more useful to say.
I mean, Sean also can tell us how much effort he thinks it's going to be to modify, vTool to support a new attribute.
Steve, is the
not the question of modifying vTool. We've already had that discussion with Sean.
Right.
The question of going through and validating the character set for every single keyword versus simply identifying the case for every keyword that we expect, and we might have to make some changes later on.
But isn't there an implied character set for all keywords currently based on data type?
To a limited extent, depending on how deeply you read the standards.
Well, that's basically what we've just tried to do with this case type, essentially.
Right, and we're just overlaying on that character set, the implied character set for each data type, whether it has to be uppercase, lowercase, or can be mixed. So we're kind of, we're overlaying rules here that actually influence the valid character set.
I guess I'm not following. Todd, is that making it easier or making it more difficult?
Well, I'm not sure. It's just a way to avoid updating the general data types. See, if we say data type is character, and then which means that the character set is, all printable characters basically, and then we overlay on that the rule that says it has to be uppercase, then we're trimming back that allowable character set to a more limited character set. Okay, by saying it's only the uppercase characters from all printable characters. Okay. So we're kind of, putting rules on top of rules.
Well, Dick, correct me, but I thought you were thinking that would put this on hold, assuming everybody is on board with defining the character set, and then by data type, it would only be the appropriate set of characters, so only uppercase. You wouldn't try and have these separate rules.
I think there's still going to be exceptions, but if we followed Todd's advice and define new data types to handle the exceptions, then everything does fit within that model. Well, I'm just poking around in the standards and the data dictionary, and I'm not so sure that data type is the answer. Data type seems to be used somewhat differently in the data dictionary than it does in the standards.
Oh, and by the way, every single keyword will have to have in its character set a slash for N slash A.
Well, the figurative constants have always been dealt with separately from actual values, which is why you can use null, unknown, and not applicable.
I realize that, but if you're only looking at what allowable characters are there, the slash has to be one of the characters that is allowed.
Well, what I'm saying is that the sieve for the figurative constants occurs before the check for syntax validity of the value.
However, VTool wants to handle that. But.
Well, it has to drop out beforehand because you use the same figurative constants regardless of character type. Of data type for the value.
Right.
I guess what that means is that as part of the definition of a data type, you're going to have these figurative constants and a character set.
No.
There's a combination.
No, the figurative constants are like a flag value that are caught by the parser before it ever goes into a validity check.
When
you've parsed out the value for the keyword, the first thing you do is say, is this one of the figurative constants? If it is, then you follow a different checking path. If it isn't, then you say, okay, but then I have what should be a real value. Now I have to check the syntax for the character set appropriate to this value.
Right. I guess I'm kind of mixing in sort of external stuff from a different project where you might have a floating point and they want to consider NaN as a valid floating point value because it's a flag within IEEE.
Right, but you have to sift out the flags before you do the regular processing for normal values.
Right, and that kind of thing, well, could be in the definition of the data type.
If you do that, then you have to include the figurative constants in all data types, and that screws up your ability to do the syntax check on real values of that type. You don't want to
You
want to separate the logic.
So Dick, I think this discussion started with you, and that was that we thought we had an SCR based on case type. You're suggesting that we address the character set. You've heard the discussion. There is a possible solution on the table that something involving data type, that's something that might be worth pursuing. I guess the question is back to you. Are you still holding that we need to consider finding or opening up this SCR to include character set?
Well, that was just my suggestion. This was not my SCR to begin with.
Sure.
So I think the people that consider it more important should probably make that decision. I think it probably came from Ron or Elizabeth originally.
Yeah.
Well, I was just trying to work it into something that at least made some sense.
Well, it makes sense as, I'm sorry, the case type SCR makes sense for a stopgap solution for PDS3, which looks like it can be implemented. My impression in this discussion, and there's certainly other ways of doing it, but we're not sure what the impact is, and we have other things we're working on at this point. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Well, I think the SCR as written will deal with case.
Right.
I'm just not sure that's a big deal, but we could certainly ask people to review it, send comments in, and plan a vote.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, I think this is an issue that has come up. This is an assessment of the PDS3. We're finding the PDS3 wanting. This needs to be noted and put into the problems and issues document that Dan's waiting for the overall project plan for PDS4. I'm sorry, PDS 10 plus now. So this has been a good discussion. We definitely have an assessment of where PDS3 is wanting, and we can definitely put that in there. That's my suggestion.
Well, I don't have the time to push on the character set thing, so if support is limited, then we should go with what we have.
I guess it's back to those who submitted the SCR.
Well, I think there's utility in doing the work, but I'd hate to do all the work and then it just not get well received. And that's sort of what happened in the working group, is we were sort of pushing towards defining a character set, and it was clear it just wasn't going to make it through the working group, so we sort of went up one level and said, okay, well, how about just case? And that was at least better received.
Yeah, but at least in my case, it was better received because I thought we could actually do it, whereas starting straight away into character set, I thought was something we'd just get completely lost in.
Yeah.
Even if we don't pursue the character set now, I think what we've got provides a springboard to deal with character set later if we wanted to take that path. So the effort's not wasted.
Well, I don't think it was wasted, no. I agree with what I think this is a giant step forward, actually. So.
Well, why don't we ask people to look it over, plan a vote for the next meeting.
Okay.
Move on. We've got 20 minutes left on our phone call, and we're not even halfway through the list.
Yeah, but the rest are just status.
11:33 is...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
I think something we could
possibly get through.
Chew on a bit.
So in my other action item, I'll include this. We'd like people to review the SCR and send in comments to the group.
I have a technical question about the SCR.
Mm-hmm.
I see you have defined four values for case, one of which is no mixed case, and yet none of the keywords that you enumerate in the SCR actually uses no mixed case.
True.
So I was wondering why it was there.
Placeholder for later.
Yeah, I checked the dictionary. I don't think you'll find it anywhere in there, but Elizabeth seemed to think that it would be handy to have for the future.
Okay, anything else on this one? Cool. 1126, Anne?
I don't know which one that is, but I haven't done anything on anything.
Okay, that's multiple occurrences of the same keyword in an object.
Yeah, nothing's happened.
Okay. 1127, pointer object ambiguity.
Yeah, same thing.
1129, add fit and FTS as reserved extension. That's Elizabeth.
I thought we voted on that. Isn't that done?
Did we?
There was a vote.
Yeah, I think that we did.
Yeah. Email vote?
Yes, an email vote.
Did it pass?
Through the website. I assumed that it did, but I don't believe that I actually heard officially.
I seem to recall
Let's
it.
Let's see what the...
There you go. Carol's memory is undoubtedly better than mine at this point.
What'd Carol say?
I seem to recall it passed, but that's just my recollection.
Let's see if there's anything...
I
expected
it to pass.
But
yeah,
I know it was voted on.
MC vote unwarranted. So it did pass. So I can take this. So it's probably an implementation somewhere.
As an MC person, I don't remember ever seeing that get to MC, though.
MC vote unwarranted.
Right, but...
Oh, that's certainly what I voted, but we still have the requirement to notify the MC.
Right.
Dick is correct. The MC has not been notified that this thing is in the pipeline.
Great. Okay.
Well, the vote closed, I think, Friday a week ago. So, like, 10 days ago.
Oh.
So it may be that there actually hasn't been an opportunity because the person who would notify them is on spring break or something like that?
Sick.
There you go.
Okay, so I'll email Elizabeth and ask her to forward this to MC.
There you go.
Good. Okay, good. 1130, update line sample display. Elizabeth, I didn't get anything from her on this. 1131, fix bad object classification types in PSDD. Again, I didn't get anything from her.
Yeah, I thought those were going to disappear as rejected and just be taken care of. 31 and 32, that is.
I thought there was a 1133 that was removed. I thought these...
No. 1133 is new.
Yeah.
No, there had been an 1133 that was removed. Because I took that with the new 1133. I probably shouldn't have said that.
But I think Anne may be right. Didn't Elizabeth push these through, got a reject, and then was going to go off and have engineering node solve the problem? I think at least one of them was voted down just so that we could clear them out of the system.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, so there is a vote. It says reject, reject, reject. And that's all it says. But so it stays. We just don't have to talk about them anymore.
Get it off the agenda.
1132, same thing. Okay, cool, they're gone. 1133. Remove ambiguity. There's an SCR that we've posted. It's fairly simple. Go ahead, Dick. You're on a roll.
Okay, Chapter 12 in the standards reference says that the letter T separating the date from the time may be specified in either upper or lower case. It turns out the ISO standards do allow a lower case, but only if uppercase T's are not available, whatever that means.
Well, that has relevance on, for example, CDs, where the character set is forced to one case or another, CDs and DVDs on hard drives. CDs, I think, is forced to uppercase and DVDs.
Well, that's true of file names on certain systems, but I'm not sure that interior to the file you're forced to upper or lowercase.
Oh, that's a good point. That, I'm not actually thinking about interior to the file. I'm thinking about whatever their equivalent of inodes are. because of the date and time fields associated with the directory block.
Well, that may be. I'm not sure we have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's a side issue. It wouldn't necessarily.
But nobody on the working group was aware of any data set that had ever been turned in with a lowercase t separating the date and the time. And everywhere else in the standards reference, you see only uppercase T's. So our recommendation was to remove that sentence, which allows the lowercase T, and possibly solve an ambiguity problem. This is very simple. Just take one sentence out of Chapter 12.
Good idea. Could I bribe you to take several other pages out of Chapter 12?
You could take Chapter 12 out, as far as I'm concerned.
We move for a vote on that one?
I would second that motion.
Okay. Fine with me.
Okay, Lyle?
Hey.
Oh, okay. So this is, I haven't done this in a while, so the answers are, are we going to, does MC need to approve this? I guess it's a standard, so they do by definition, right?
No, let's just vote on the merits first, and if it passes, we'll decide whether it has to go to MC.
Say merit. So Lyle?
A.
Yes. Geo?
Approve.
Yes. Imaging, Patty, gone. They all took off. Nath, gone. PPI?
Yes.
Ring, Mitch?
Approve.
SBN?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Engineering?
So we're voting to remove Chapter 12 from the...
in your dreams.
Yeah, yes. I vote yes on 1133.
Okay, so that passes. Okay, now, Dick, what do we do? Now we.
Oh, now you ask whether it should go to Management Council or not.
Or straight to implementation with notice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Lyle?
Implementation.
Geo?
Implementation.
Imaging and Nath gone, PPI?
Implementation.
Ring?
Implementation.
SBN?
Implement.
Radio?
Ditto.
Hey, that wasn't one of the choices.
That's all right. What do you expect from a bakery note? They don't understand. Okay, so it's direct to implementation. Now, since, again, I'm not all up on all this, so does this mean MC still gets notified that it went to implementation?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
When we vote for implementation, Ron, it goes, Elizabeth sends a notice to the Management Council saying, the tech session has approved this for implementation. The Management Council then has a week or 10 days, something like that, in which to throw a red flag and say, no, we want to talk about it.
Okay. I'll see if I can dig up one of her emails.
If nobody raises a red flag, it's just gone. It goes.
Directly. Okay, cool. Okay.
I doubt that they'll want to deal with this one.
No.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our agenda. Yay. When's the next telecon?
Well, 2 weeks from now won't work. That's the day before the MC, and some of us are traveling.
Yeah, I won't be able to attend. And the following week, I'm on my way to Europe. So I'm not available till the 16th if we want to do it on a Wednesday. I will be around next week, though.
And I may be on vacation.
Are there any subjects that we have to talk to about as a tech group before the Management Council?
Probably not.
I was just going to mention one heads up, though, is that the PDS4 information model use case document, I've sent out to a couple in the tech group for comments.
Input. We were on spring break, so I just got it during the course of this meeting when I finally got to my email.
Oh, okay. As soon as I get kind of input from those that I've asked, I'm going to send it out to the whole tech group. Based on the response from Ann and Mitch, who have looked at the document, I'm sure the tech group is going to find a lot of things that they want added or changed. Got to give some status report at Management Council, so I just want to give everybody a heads up. This document may be coming, and we'd like to be able to shape it up better before Management Council, if we can, time permitted.
Should we try to do that next week during this time?
That would be great, if we could.
So is that going to be the whole tech group, or is that just going to be your working group?
No, the whole tech group. like a broader review of it. Internally, our working group has worked this to the point we think it's nearly ready, and that's where we wanted to have a broader review of it by all the full tech group, because this is a foundational piece for PDS4 if it gets accepted. And so it's important for everybody to have a look at it.
We have a standard telecon next week?
Well, we're talking about whether we should schedule one.
Oh, okay. Well, I will be unavailable.
Okay. I guess for those that could attend, I would find it useful if we just kind of did a review of it if we could.
We'd have to have seen the document in time to do that, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it out a little later this week, maybe tomorrow or Friday. But.
Oh, you could take whoever shows up. That's probably better than just the working group.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Okay, so we'll have one on the 26th.
This is Steve. I don't want to overload that, but Todd, you know, there's also this problems and issues document, which is...
That does need to be circulated, too, yeah.
It's circulated. But anyway, the point is it needs to be reviewed by the tech group, and
exactly.
You know, Dan keeps asking for it.
Right. Yeah, I got to touch base with Ed to find out what the status is on that. But, you know, you and Ed have been working on it, but I think Ed was taking the lead.
Yeah,
I believe that
everybody had responded at the work group, so I think it was time for the tech group. But I'm just talking, that's off the top of my head.
I'll circulate both documents then.
That'd be great.
Okay, so next week we have a PDS4 review for everybody who can make it. The second, we don't have a tech session. So are we having the next one on the 9th or the 16th? Understanding that Dick won't be able to participate on the 9th. There's a management council telecon on the 14th, which is only 2 weeks after the face-to-face, so I don't think there's going to be an awful lot of business added in.
It may not even be held.
Yeah.
No, I'm confused. Are we meeting a week from today or not?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so then we're talking about something else now.
The next meeting after. Since it doesn't seem like a lot of people will be at the next week's meeting, we want to schedule the following standards telecon.
Okay.
Yes. It has to be on the 9th of March, right? Or April, I mean. Because April 2nd.
Yes, 2nd's out.
Is the day before the management council meeting.
Yeah, the 2nd is out. The question is it going to be the 9th or the 16th?
Oh, we might come back all charged up from management council.
Have one on Saturday.
Anxious to work or something.
16th better for me, I think.
How many people have trouble with the 9th besides Juan and Dick? How many people have trouble with the 16th?
Oddly enough, I don't have my calendar memorized for the next month.
Yeah, and I can't really speak for Susie. I'm out most of April myself.
I don't have anything in particular written down for the 9th or the 16th yet.
I propose the 16th.
I second that. Does it carry, Ron?
Yep, standard 16. Great. Okay, now everybody has to wish Steve Hughes happy birthday because it's...
Why did you bring that up for?
Hey, happy birthday.
Because I get paid to embarrass you.
But wait a minute, this is not today. You have to guess what day it is.
It is today.
No, it's not.
My calendar shows it today.
Your calendar is looking at somebody else's birthday.
It shows very clearly Steve Hughes today.
Well, whenever it is, Steve, happy birthday.
Okay.
It's not today? Seriously?
You send those cards and letters this way, it's okay.
And checks.
Actually, it's the 16th of April.
16th of April?
The day after your taxes are due.
So we can wish you a happy birthday on the next PDS telecon, standard telecon.
There better be cake.
Actually, mine says 16th, but it's showing up today. So their outlook is crazy. Okay, you're right. Sorry.
Blame Bill Gates. Everybody will buy that.
Yeah, right.
Because of that.
I blame Bill Gates for a lot of things.
All righty, everybody. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.